Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
I'm Kim Grinnells of DogMan.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Down at the University of Arizona, where Washington come from behind, victory 21-16 over University of Arizona with an announced attendance of 30,880, and I don't think there was anywhere near that many people here. Pretty quiet crowd, but with the way Arizona's been playing, not really surprised. Weather was pretty mild. It was just a really nice, comfortable day for football down here in the desert. But tale of two halves. The first half, Washington, I think it's fair to say, was really in trouble and struggled quite a bit. Second half, they turned it around. But Scott, that first half was ugly.
Oh, absolutely. You could tell that the team was down. Their body language was terrible. Giles Jackson was a perfect example of that, throwing his arms up several times for different things, whatever it was. Dylan Morris looked like he was battered and bruised, severed a bloody nose on that first drive when he was sacked, and just couldn't do anything. I mean, they just really couldn't get out of their own way. And it looked like one of the worst. This was going to, as bad as the Montana loss was, this one could have been worse just from the way that Washington was just getting pummeled by Arizona, but they were resilient and they were able to come back.
In that first drive, Dylan Morris took a big hit to the face. He went into the injury tent with a bloody nose. Jimmy Lake said post game that they had a really tough time getting it to stop bleeding. Sam Huard entered the game and really didn't do much except hand the ball off and then had one pass attempt that was thrown out of bounds. But, post game, Jimmy Lake said that the plan was to get Sam some reps, and he was only in there when asked if he had come close to putting Sam back in. He said no. He said the plan all along was to get Sam one series and that's it, which seems a little bit odd. But, Sam got in there for a little bit and wasn't able to do much. But were you kind of surprised that he didn't come back in as poor as the offense was playing in the second half?
Yes.
In the first half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in the first half, for sure. I mean, I know fans were rejoicing, but, I don't know if they should have been rejoicing for that reason, the fact that Morris had to go into the medical tent to stop a bloody nose was the only reason Huard got in. So yeah, it does seem a bit disingenuous when Lake says that the plan was for him to get a series anyways. That wasn't the way that they had drawn it up. So does that mean he was going to get a series in the first quarter, in the second quarter? And when you go into halftime and you've literally, you have a total of 65 yards, guys, 65 yards. You've run the ball 20 times for 30 yards and you've thrown for 35 yards. You're 3 of 9 on third downs. You had a punt blocked. Your defense has given up 129 yards on the ground in the first half. What did they prepare for the whole week? I know it's a short week and I know they were missing some guys, but do you guys think that any of the guys that were missing would have made such a huge difference against a team on a current 18-game losing streak? I just don't – I'm not seeing it.
I think Taimani might have, but your point isn't invalid, Chris. I don't think missing the guys off of the team was what was causing this team to struggle. They're just struggling in general.
And just for people who weren't aware, Jackson Kirkland, left tackle, was out. Did not see Richard Newton on this trip. Sam Taimani, the defensive tackle, wasn't here. Cam Newton, the safety, wasn't here.
Cam Williams.
Cam Williams.
Richard
wasn't
Newton
here.
Wasn't here.
Yeah. Who else did I miss?
Ulofosio.
Eddie Ulofosio, and I'm hearing that could be a long-term thing, so we'll wait and see on that. But I mean, all of those guys are guys that played significant playing time. One other thing, did Victor Kern start and get pulled, or was Mateo Mele over there at the start of the game?
I think he got pulled because Kern came in later in the second half and played. They both played in both halves. So I mean, unless you really break it down, I'm not exactly sure what the rhyme or reason is at right tackle right now. I'm not sure, you know, how many snaps they want to get Mele. I'm not sure if it's a thing where Kern might be a little dinged up, so they're trying to maybe give him a break here and there. It's just hard to know exactly what the plan is at right tackle right now.
Troy Fontanu, who started at left tackle, did you guys notice anything from him?
I thought he looked okay at times, but yeah, you could tell that he's still, you know, he's young and hasn't gotten a lot of experience.
I mean, he gave up a sack on one play, but it was because Morris just held on to the ball. And Dylan Morris had probably a good 3 to 4 seconds to scan the field, look at first, second, third routes, and then get rid of the ball or move or do something. And he was like a deer in the headlights on that one. And he got backsided pretty good. And so that guy was, that Fautanu was the guy that was responsible for that, but he had him just fine. And if Dylan gets that ball away in normal time, we're not, you know, not even talking about it.
Tell me what you saw, Scott. Is Dylan Moore still locking on to receivers and holding on to the ball too long?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can see it takes him some time to get off of his first read. He'll just stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. And he's not getting to his second and third read or even deciding to just pull the ball down and go. I don't know what it's going to take, whether he figures out how to come off of his receivers quicker or go through his progressions quicker, or just if the coaches need to say, hey, here's your two reads, and if they're not there, go. And I just don't know, because Dylan, you know, he's not a dual threat guy, but he can hurt you with his legs if you give him some openings. And he's just really slow in making those decisions. And I'm happy for him that they got to come back tonight and he wasn't the GOAT, because he certainly was going to be if they had lost tonight. But, you know, Washington needs more out of the quarterback position. I don't know if it's Dylan Morris or if it's going to be Sam Heward down the road, or if it could be Patrick O'Brien. I don't know, but Dylan Morris is not playing well, and he wasn't playing with a lot of confidence. He did play well in the second half. He made some nice reads and some nice throws, but overall, still just not enough for Washington to beat. I mean, they barely beat a team that is 0-18 in their last 18 games, well, 0-19 in their last 19 games now, how are they going to beat Stanford? How are they going to beat Oregon, Arizona State, heck, even Washington State the rest of the way? I just don't know, but you know what? This is a win. It was ugly, but you got to build on this.
Dylan Morris is struggling in the first half. Do you think getting hit? I mean, he got hit pretty hard. He was in the tent for a while. Do you think that had anything to do with his poor performance when he did come back in?
I'm sure it had a little bit to do with it, and I think the hangover from the Alex Cook injury, which we'll talk about in a second, definitely had some guys kind of playing on their heels a little bit. But overall, I just think he's playing scared. I don't think he's playing with confidence right now.
Yeah, just, you know, touch bases on the Alex Cook injury. I wasn't able to see exactly what happened. Don't know if you guys were able to see on the TV copy, but Jimmy Lake said post game that Alex Cook was on his way back from the hospital. He still has some tests to do, but he will be flying home with the team. So, movement on all of his extremities, but, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what that was. Were you guys able to see anything on that?
Yeah, he put his head down. Instead of what you're normally taught nowadays. And so he kind of got munched a little bit. And
got a knee to the side of the head.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, you know, it looked like he also may have gotten his head knocked back a little bit too. So a little different, you know, things going on there. But it was high speed. I mean, it was definitely a collision. So, yeah, it wasn't boy, when he went down initially, you could tell – as soon as the hit was made, you could tell it just knocked his lights out.
Well, was it Carson Bruner that got up and was signaling for the staff to come out?
I don't remember who it was, but yeah, it was a big hit. And, I'm glad that Cook looks like he's going to be okay, because we know 2 years ago you know, I don't know, not a totally dissimilar injury happened to BC. And we know how long that took him to recover from that stinger. So hopefully hopefully Cook doesn't have a stinger or anything close to it, and he can come back and get back at it a little bit. But, you know, those types of injuries, and especially when you got to bring the card out, man alive, it's just super scary.
Yeah, just want to touch bases on one more thing on the first half, the block punt. Jimmy said one of the Shield guys just went after the wrong guy. What'd you see?
I saw one guy absolutely run free.
Yeah.
I mean, like he could sprint to Race Porter with just no one around him.
Honestly, he almost looked like he could have taken it off of Porter's foot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you see Porter's stats for the end of the game, what he averaged on his punts?
I've got it right here. Looks like he averaged 43.4 with four dropped inside the 20 and three for over 50 yards.
I'm showing 49.6 on my sheet.
Okay. It says 43.4 on the stat broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they dinged him for the blocked punt.
Well, I think that counts.
They would.
Yeah. Yeah, 7 for 347.
Yeah, we had 8 for 347.
Okay, so I don't know. Just the block took him down, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how they work that stat, but yeah, another big game for Race Porter. So I've been kind of giving him a little bit of a hard time. Run, Race, run, you know. But I don't think there was any circumstances today where there was really an opportunity for him to take off. But team seemed really flat in the first half, but came out and scored on their first possession in the second half. You know, they looked. I think that kind of set the tone for the second half, guys.
Well, and that drive got off to a real rocky start too. I mean, they, you know, they end up with, what was it, third and six or third and seven, and they get lucky on a penalty by Arizona where they jump off sides. And Morris throws it up because he knows he's got a free play and it's picked off, but that isn't really. What it was they gave Washington a much shorter chance. So then, you know, they drag Jalen McMillan across the middle, and he almost gets stopped for no gain. But they throw him the ball. He bounces off the linebacker and then goes 29 yards. And that was really, you know, if Tooley hadn't intercepted the pass later in the game, that would have been my play of the game. Because that really kind of sparked the offense, it seemed like, because two plays later, he hits Terrell Bynum for a 28-yard gain, I think it was. And then two plays later, he finds Bynum for the touchdown, the 16-yard touchdown. And it was kind of off and running then for the Husky offense at that point.
Hey, Chris, real quick, tell me about that touchdown reception by Bynum, because I was down there, and all I could see was two guys with both their hands on the balls. Was it a clear reception, or did you know ninth, you know, possession go to the offense on that one?
Well, it was underthrown, and I couldn't tell if it was necessarily underthrown on purpose, because that was kind of one of those where they had gotten an interference call, you know, at some point in the game again on an underthrow like that. So I couldn't tell what was supposed to happen in terms of the throw. But it certainly looked like Bynum came down with it, and then the Arizona defender was able to kind of come down to it as well. But he kind of had possession first, and then when they fell down, Bynum was on top of him and basically was just holding on to it. And so, I don't know, is that, you know, possession goes to the offense? I mean, it looked
at the front
pretty
page.
Close simultaneous, but I think Bynum had it just maybe a split second before the Arizona guy was able to grab it.
Look at the front page. You can see I've got a picture of it for the game wrap story, and Terrell Bynum has the ball in his hands as he's falling backwards.
Yeah.
And then you can tell the guy comes down. He touches down, and the guy, when they fall, that's when the guy grabs the ball. So.
Yeah, you know, Washington just incredibly struggling running the football. Only 38 carries for 88 yards. And on the other side, Arizona with 40 carries for 218 yards, which to me is just baffling, because you knew that Arizona would not be throwing the football and they weren't able to stop the run.
Well, now two of their running plays. One was to a receiver and one was on a fly sweep to a running back. But both of those went for 86 yards. Now, that still counts in the running. I get it. But it isn't like they did most of that damage running right up the middle on Washington. Because if you take away that 86 yards where they got outside and got some space, you know, Washington only gave up, what is it, 86?
Jalen John had 19 carries for 65 yards. His long run was 8, and he was basically their running back.
Yeah.
So they held him in check, but it was the motion, those types of things where they really had trouble when Arizona stretched things side to side. That's when they had problems.
Chris, set up the play with Thule intercepting the ball, because it sure looked like Arizona was going to go down the field and score. And there was a lot of tension on the sideline because they were moving the ball. I can't remember what the score was, but I think that would have put the game. Boy, it just felt like that was going to be a nail in the
coffin. It was 16-7. It was 16-7 at that point. And my guess is, because Arizona figured Washington would load up against the run, they'd try and get, you know, they'd suck them inside, and then they'd throw a screen pass right over them. And I don't think that was necessarily a bad call, but, you know, Thule was the only one there. If he doesn't make that play could go for a long ways.
But, yeah, because basically the play before, they had had a gain off the left of about 8 yards to the Washington 43, but then you had a face mask by Alfonso Tupatala, who was making his first action of the year, and then that ended up. So they were at the Washington 28. I mean, they were driving, and then they just for some reason decide to throw a pass in this big man pick. I mean, and someone was asking, I think it might be the first big man pick that we've seen since Greg Gaines.
Yeah, but, it is.
You know, it was literally a bolt out of the blue. It was like, how did that happen? And then literally you go from there, you go Kamari Pleasant for 8 yards, Pleasant for 3 yards for first down. Morris goes down the middle 51 yards to Bynum. And then Cameron Davis, who apparently is out of the doghouse now, goes on the left side. Scores pretty much untouched until he is in the end zone. And now all of a sudden it's 16-14. And it's like, yeah, things can, you know, life comes at you fast, guys. And especially when you're Arizona and you haven't won a game in however many years, and you're finding ways to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And I think they did a fantastic job of doing that.
Yeah, like I said, you know, on that drive, the way Arizona was moving the ball, I mean, there was a lot of tension on the sidelines, you know, from all the UW people, and, you know, losing to Arizona, I think, would have been devastating, you know, to, I don't know if the career path of Jimmy Lake is the right phrase, but boy, the hot seat would have really been turned up a couple of notches if they'd lost to Arizona. But, you know, a lot of people were saying that pick saved Jimmy Lake's job, and boy, there might be some truth to that.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. Final touchdown drive, long pass to, you know, Terrell Bynum. I don't know if you saw this on the TV, but I've got it on the photos. He caught the ball, and I don't know what he was thinking, but he put the ball in one hand and was stretching it out. And I was going, hold on to the ball, Terrell. Hold on to the ball. Did you guys notice
that? I don't know who's been teaching him
that
move, but he needs to keep that one in the locker room, because that's just, I mean, he's just asking for trouble with that.
I'm not saying he should have done it, but I think what he was trying to do was stiff arm the guy because he thought he could get him for a touchdown. And so he held the ball away, but that isn't how you do that.
Well, and if you're going to hold the ball away like that, guys, get out of bounds.
Jeez.
If it's over, it's over. Just get out of bounds, man. If you can't tuck it in, get out of bounds. I mean,
I'll send you guys a pick. I'll send you guys a pick where that ball was a little looser at the end than I think a lot of people would be comfortable with. But then again, you know, going down and scoring that go ahead touchdown.
They get a call on third and goal, and Morris throws it up to Otten, and he gets held. And Washington gets bailed out, and on the next play, he throws a touchdown pass to Romo Dunsey. and that's your winning score.
Well, with 4 minutes to go, and Arizona's getting the ball back, and they have to score a touchdown. And boy, they had some boneheaded penalties tonight. I mean, Arizona did. They really had some boneheaded penalties.
Yeah, and that timeout they had to call on that third down play that Washington ended up getting anyway. They called timeout, and that really hurt them on that last drive by Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, just like I said, tale of two halves, and hopefully that second half that they had, you know, in winning a game will get some momentum going against Stanford. But boy, that team that we saw in the first half, guys, that's as bad a football as I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think that this game is going to register much with people. I just think that, you know, if you went to that game, like Kim, you were, when you're leaving that stadium, do you think Washington's a good football team? Do you think they're any different
than we're
against UCLA?
No, I think they're going to have a tough time finding two more wins. I really do.
I just think
two more. They need three.
Yeah, I at this point, guys, I just think that, you know, they are who they are. And if you're on the glass half full train, which is good, I hope more people are on it if they can be. You're taking this and hoping that the players gain momentum from it. The coaches try to do something, and hopefully Lake is true to his word, and we'll find ways to get Sam Heward in the game. You know, at least one series, maybe a couple, if he can. But you know, the glass half empty crowd, they're going to look at that win and just go, well, that's just going to give the players and the coaches more excuses. You know, they're going to say winning on the road is hard, yeah. Winning in the Pac-12 is hard. You spoke to Jimmy, Kim, so you can tell us.
Yeah.
What he was like. I'm sure he gave you all of the good sound bites on how tough it was, how resilient the team was, how it was such a gritty win, how Dylan Morris is.
He wasn't like that post game, to be honest with you. I thought he was about as honest as you could expect him to, as I've seen him all year post game. He wasn't doing that. So what
was he doing?
I mean, you know, he just explained that, you know, we're missing some guys, but, you know, we'll hopefully have some more updates on that. He said the UCLA game, they got pretty banged up and they were missing some guys and would have more updates on us. Updated us on Terrell Bynum, talked about the Sam Heward situation and Dylan Morris. And, you know, they've got to find a way to stop the run. You know, it's just not acceptable the way they're not, you know, they're not able to stop the run. So, you know, coaches are usually going to be overzealous in a win. I didn't think he was over the top at all. I thought he was just, I mean, like I said, you know, I've known Jimmy for a long time. That was as close to Jimmy just being who he really is as I've seen in a long, long time. Also, you know, just also remember what, you know, coaches say to us in the media and what they say behind the scenes. A lot of times those are two different things. So.
Well, I would absolutely agree with that. But the same thing applies, right? If he's going to say that, you know, missing guys was that big a deal, do we honestly believe that?
He didn't focus on that.
This at the beginning. You know, Scott said Sam Taimani probably would make a little bit of a difference when trying to stop the run. But when you're missing gaps, when you're just not fitting the run very well, I'm not sure if it matters that much.
I don't know. Asa Turner got abused. I think Cam Williams would have made that tackle.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, right. You know, we saw Dominique Hampton play more and more. I think that's important, even though he did get a block in the back call, which I thought was going to probably put him back in the doghouse a little bit. But I'm glad to see that he's back out there and play a little bit. And, you know, I mean, he's from Arizona. That's a game that's going to mean something to him. So I'm glad he was able to play a little bit.
Yeah. Guys, I got an early flight in the morning. And just for those of you who are going to be doing any kind of travel, book your rental cars early. Getting rental cars, there's none available in Tucson. Nobody got rental cars down here in Tucson. And just an FYI, Mike Borrell and Larry Stone flew down to Phoenix and missed their connecting flight. Not missed it. They canceled their connecting flight. They couldn't get a connecting flight. So guess how they got down to Tucson?
Uber. I saw it on Twitter.
They took an Uber. So, yeah.
Oh, hour and a half. Yeah.
At least
2 hours. It's 2 hours. So, but yeah, but I got to Uber back to the hotel. But anyways, Scott, wrap it up for us.
Just, you know, it wasn't pretty, but guess what? It's still a win. And, you know, Washington is now what? 2-1 what are they, 2-2 or 2-3 in one score games right now. And this team, it's not going to be pretty. It's never going to be easy with this team, but, they're gutting out some wins and they're playing these teams close. I guess my only thing is, to the people on our board who are rooting against the Huskies, and that's pathetic. It's just pathetic to root against your team. So I get it. You're frustrated, but that is not how it's happened. So anyway, good win. Now they got to go on the road against Stanford where they never play well. And, we'll just have to see how that one happens. And that's another 7:30 game, Kim.
All right. Yeah, that's another one. But, Chris Fetter's final thoughts.
I just think that this is a game where, I think I had 24 points scored by Washington in my predictions and I was the low man on the poll and they couldn't even make that. This is a game that again will continue to polarize people because the people that aren't convinced in Jimmy Lake are going to use this and say, even in a win, that was awful, especially the first half. I mean, what was the game plan going in? Good. They made some changes. They finally took advantage of an Arizona team that was there waiting to be taken advantage of, and the penalties and everything else. That's a team that is truly, truly awful. And Washington almost lost the game. I mean, they had to come back and score 14 points in the fourth quarter to win it. And that's incredible. And so, there will be the crowd that wants to continue the Jimmy Lake experiment and they want to see what kind of improvements will be made. No problems with that whatsoever. I just think that the way this thing is trending, I don't know if it's going to end very well. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of momentum in the coaching department. Now the players, they're resilient. They'll come back. They'll do what they can and they're a gritty bunch and they won't quit. We've seen it time and time again, but the coaches, I just don't know if they're up to it. I have not seen enough. The first half, whatever the game plan was, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Never figured it out. And thankfully in the second half, they were able to put something together to eke out a win. So we'll see next week, but they haven't won at Stanford. They haven't won at Palo Alto since 2007. Think about that.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting week because I think, Washington, in order to beat Stanford, is going to have to show things that they haven't been able to do. And, you compare Stanford to Arizona. Stanford's a lot better football team than Arizona. So, and I think you're right, Chris, the team is showing us who they are. We keep on expecting them to be better, but they're just not showing it. So we'll get another shot next week on another night game down at Stanford. Scott's favorite thing is night games, but my favorite's night games on the road. But anyways, Jimmy Lake will meet with the media again on Monday. So hopefully we get some updates on some of the injuries. Also, Jimmy asked about preserving Sam's red shirt, and he said not necessarily, so something to keep an eye on as well. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football, wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.